she suddenly burst out laughing at my words, and so rudely, you know. Well, I was pleased. I thought I had amused her and the fits would pass off, especially as I wanted to refuse to see Ivan Fyodorovich anyway on account of his strange visits without my knowledge, and meant to ask him for an explanation. But early this morning Lies waked up and flew into a passion with Yulia and, would you believe it, slapped her in the face. That's monstrous. I am always polite to my servants. And an hour later she was hugging Yulia's feet and kissing them. She sent a message to me that she wasn't coming to me at all, and would never come and see me again, and when I dragged myself down to her, she rushed to kiss me, crying, and as she kissed me, she pushed me out of the room without saying a word, so I couldn't find out what was the matter. Now, dear Alexey Fyodorovich, I rest all my hopes on you, and, of course, my whole life is in your hands. I simply beg you to go to Lies and find out everything from her, as you alone can, and come back and tell me, her mother, for you understand it will be the death of me, simply the death of me, if this goes on, or else I shall run away. I can stand no more. I have patience, but I may lose patience, and then something awful will happen. Ah, dear me! At last, Pyotr Ilyich! Cried Madame Holokov, beaming all over as she saw Perhotin enter the room. You are late, you are late. Well, sit down, speak, put us out of suspense. What does the council say? Where are you off to, Alexey Fyodorovich? To Lies. Oh, yes. You won't forget what I asked you. It's a question of life and death. Of course, I won't forget, if I can. But I am so late, muttered Alishaw, beating a hasty retreat. No, be sure to come in. Don't say if you can. I shall die if you don't, Madame Holokov called after him, but Alishaw had already left the room. Chapter 3, A Little Demon Going into Lies. He found her half reclining in the invalid chair, in which she had been wheeled when she was unable to walk. She did not move to meet him, but her sharp, keen eyes were simply riveted on his face. There was a feverish look in her eyes, her face was pale and yellow. Alishaw was amazed at the change that had taken place in her in 3 days. She was positively thinner. She did not hold out her hand to him. He touched the thin, long fingers which lay motionless on her dress, then he sat down facing her, without a word. I know you are in a hurry to get to the prison, Lies, said curtly. And Mamez kept you there for hours, she's just been telling you about me and Yulia. How do you know? Asked Alishaw. I've been listening. Why do you stare at me? I want to don't apologize. You are upset about something? On the contrary, I am very happy. I've only just been reflecting for the 30th time what a good thing it is I refused you and shall not be your wife. You are not fit to be a husband. If I were to marry you and give you a note to take to the man I loved after you, you'd take it and be sure to give it to him and bring an answer back, too. If you were 40, you would still go on taking my love, letters for me. She suddenly laughed. There is something spiteful and yet open-hearted about you, Alishaw smiled to her. The open-heartedness consists in my not being ashamed of myself with you. What's more, I don't want to feel ashamed with you, just with you. Alishaw, why is it I don't respect you? I am very fond of you, but I don't respect you. If I respected you, I shouldn't talk to you without shame, should I? No. But do you believe that I am not ashamed with you? No, I don't believe it. Lies laughed nervously again, she spoke rapidly. I sent your brother, Dmitri Fyodorovich, some sweets in prison. Alishaw, you know, you are quite pretty. I shall love you awfully for having so quickly allowed me not to love you. Why did you send for me today, Lies? I wanted to tell you of a longing I have. I should like someone to torture me, marry me and then torture me, deceive me and go away. I don't want to be happy. You are in love with disorder. Yes, I want disorder. I keep wanting to set fire to the house. I keep imagining how I'll creep up and set fire to the house on the sly. It must be on the sly. They'll try to put it out, but it'll go on burning. And I shall know and say nothing. Ah, what silliness. And how bored I am. She waved her hand with a look of repulsion. It's your luxurious life, said Alishaw, softly. Is it better, then, to be poor? Yes, it is better. That's what your monk taught you. That's not true. Let me be rich and all the rest poor. I'll eat sweets and drink cream and not give any to anyone else. Look, don't speak, don't say anything. She shook her hand at him, though Alishaw had not opened his mouth. You've told me all that before. I know it all by heart. It bores me. If I am ever poor, I shall murder somebody, and even if I am rich, I may murder someone, perhaps. Why do nothing? But do you know, I should like to reap, cut the rye. I'll marry you, and you shall become a peasant, a real peasant. We'll keep a colt, shall we? Do you know Kalganath? Yes. He is always wandering about, dreaming. He says, why live in real life? It's better to dream. One can dream the most delightful things, but real life is a bore. But he'll be married soon for all that. He's been making love to me already. Can you spin tops? Yes. Well, he's just like a top. He wants to be wound up and set spinning and then to be lashed, lashed, lashed with a whip. If I marry him, I'll keep him spinning all his life. You are not ashamed to be with me? No. You are awfully cross, because I don't talk about holy things. I don't want to be holy. What will they do to one in the next world for the greatest sin? You must know all about that. God will censure you. Alishaw was watching her steadily. That's just what I should like. I would go up and they would censure me, and I would burst out laughing in their faces. I should dreadfully like to set fire to the house, Alishaw, to our house. You still don't believe me? Why? There are children of 12 years old, who have a longing to set fire to something and they do set things on fire, too. It's a sort of disease. That's not true, that's not true. There may be children, but that's not what I mean. You take evil for good. It's a passing crisis, it's the result of your illness, perhaps. You do despise me, though. It's simply that I don't want to do good, I want to do evil, and it has nothing to do with illness. Why do evil? So that everything might be destroyed? Ah, how nice it would be if everything were destroyed. You know, Alishaw, I sometimes think of doing a fearful lot of harm and everything bad, and I should do it for a long while on the sly and suddenly everyone would find it out. Everyone will stand round and point their fingers at me and I would look at them all. That would be awfully nice. Why would it be so nice, Alishaw? I don't know. It's a craving to destroy something good or, as you say, to set fire to something. It happens sometimes. I not only say it, I shall do it. I believe you. Ah, how I love you for saying you believe me. And you are not lying one little bit. But perhaps you think that I am saying all this on purpose to annoy you. No, I don't think that. Though perhaps there is a little desire to do that in it, too. There is a little. I never can tell lies to you, she declared, with a strange fire in her eyes. What struck Alishaw above everything was her earnestness. There was not a trace of humor or jesting in her face now, though. In old days, fun and gaiety never deserted her even at her most earnest moments. There are moments when people love crime, said Alishaw thoughtfully. Yes, yes. You have uttered my thought, they love crime, everyone loves crime, they love it always, not at some moments. You know, it's as though people have made an agreement to lie about it and have lied about it ever since. They all declare that they hate evil, but secretly they all love it. And are you still reading nasty books? Yes, I am. Mama reads them and hides them under her pillow and I steal them. Aren't you ashamed to destroy yourself? I want to destroy myself. There's a boy here, who lay down between the railway lines when the train was passing. Lucky fellow. Listen, your brother is being tried now for murdering his father, and everyone loves his having killed his father. Loves his having killed his father? Yes, loves it, everyone loves it. Everybody says it's so awful, but secretly they simply love it. I for one love it. There is some truth in what you say about everyone, said Alishaw softly. Oh, what ideas you have! Lies shrieked in delight. And you a monk, too. You wouldn't believe how I respect you, Alishaw, for never telling lies. Oh, I must tell you a funny dream of mine. I sometimes dream of devils. It's night, I am in my room with a candle, and suddenly there are devils all over the place, in all the corners, under the table, and they open the doors. There's a crowd of them behind the doors, and they want to come and seize me. And they are just coming, just seizing me. But I suddenly cross myself and they all draw back, though they don't go away altogether. They stand at the doors and in the corners, waiting. And suddenly I have a frightful longing to revile God aloud, and so I begin, and then they come crowding back to me, delighted, and seize me again, and I cross myself again and they all draw back. It's awful fun, it takes one's breath away. I've had the same dream, too, said Alishaw suddenly. Really? Cried Lies, surprised. I say, Alishaw, don't laugh, that's awfully important. Could two different people have the same dream? It seems they can. Alishaw, I tell you, it's awfully important, Lies went on, with really excessive amazement. It's not the dream that's important, but you're having the same dream as me. You never lie to me, don't lie now, is it true? You are not laughing. It's true. Lies seemed extraordinarily impressed, and for half a minute she was silent. Alishaw, come and see me more often, she said suddenly, in a supplicating voice. I'll always come to see you, all my life, answered Alishaw firmly. You are the only person I can talk to, you know, Lies began again. I talk to no one but myself and you. Only you in the whole world. And to you more readily than to myself. And I am not a bit ashamed with you, not a bit. Alishaw, why am I not ashamed with you, not a bit? Alishaw, is it true that at Easter the Jews steal a child and kill it? I don't know. There's a book here in which I read about the trial of a Jew, who took a child of 4 years old and cut off the fingers from both hands, and then crucified him on the wall, hammered nails into him and crucified him, and afterwards, when he was tried, he said that the child died soon, within 4 hours. That was soon. He said the child moaned, kept on moaning, and he stood admiring it. That's nice. Nice? Nice. I sometimes imagine that it was I who crucified him. He would hang there moaning and I would sit opposite him eating pineapple compote. I am awfully fond of pineapple compote. Do you like it? Alishaw looked at her in silence. Her pale, sallow face was suddenly contorted, her eyes burned. You know, when I read about that Jew I shook with sobs all night. I kept fancying how the little thing cried and moaned, a child of 4 years old understands, you know, and all the while the thought of pineapple compote haunted me. In the morning I wrote a letter to a certain person, begging him particularly to come and see me. He came and I suddenly told him all about the child and the pineapple compote. All about it, all, and said that it was nice. He laughed and said it really was nice. Then he got up and went away. He was only here 5 minutes. Did he despise me? Did he despise me? Tell me, Alishaw, did he despise me or not? She sat up on the couch, with flashing eyes. Tell me, Alishaw asked anxiously, did you send for that person? Yes, I did. Did you send him a letter? Yes. Simply to ask about that, child? No, not about that at all. But when he came, I asked him about that at once. He answered, laughed, got up and went away. That person behaved honorably, Alishaw murmured. And did he despise me? Did he laugh at me? No, for perhaps he believes in the pineapple compote himself. He is very ill now, too, Lies. Yes, he does believe in it, said Lies, with flashing eyes. He doesn't despise anyone, Alishaw went on. Only he does not believe anyone. If he doesn't believe in people, of course, he does despise them. Then he despises me, me? You, too. Good. Lies seemed to grind her teeth. When he went out laughing, I felt that it was nice to be despised. The child with fingers cut off is nice, and to be despised is nice. And she laughed in Alishaw's face, a feverish malicious laugh. Do you know, Alishaw? Do you know, I should like, Alishaw, save me. She suddenly jumped from the couch, rushed to him and seized him with both hands. Save me. She almost groaned. Is there anyone in the world I could tell what I've told you? I've told you the truth, the truth. I shall kill myself, because I loathe everything. I don't want to live, because I loathe everything. I loathe everything, everything. Alishaw, why don't you love me in the least? She finished in a frenzy. But I do love you, answered Alishaw warmly. And will you weep over me, will you? Yes. Not because I won't be your wife, but simply weep for me. Yes. Thank you. It's only your tears I want. Everyone else may punish me and trample me underfoot, everyone, everyone, not excepting anyone. For I don't love anyone. Do you hear, not anyone? On the contrary, I hate him. Go, Alishaw, it's time you went to your brother, she tore herself away from him suddenly. How can I leave you like this? Said Alishaw, almost in alarm. Go to your brother, the prison will be shut, go, here's your hat. Give my love to Mitya, go, go. And she almost forcibly pushed Alishaw out of the door. He looked at her with pained surprise, when he was suddenly aware of a letter in his right hand, a tiny letter folded up tight and sealed. He glanced at it and instantly read the address, to Ivan Fyodorovich Karamazov. He looked quickly at Lies. Her face had become almost menacing. Give it to him, you must give it to him. She ordered him, trembling and beside herself. Today, at once, or I'll poison myself. That's why I sent for you. And she slammed the door quickly. The bolt clicked. Alishaw put the note in his pocket and went straight downstairs, without going back to Madame Holokov, forgetting her, in fact. As soon as Alishaw had gone, Lies unbolted the door, opened it a little, put her finger in the crack and slammed the door with all her might, pinching her finger. 10 seconds after, releasing her finger, she walked softly, slowly to her chair, sat up straight in it and looked intently at her blackened finger and at the blood that oozed from under the nail. Her lips were quivering and she kept whispering rapidly to herself, I am a wretch, 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 wretch. Chapter 4, A Hymn and a Secret. It was quite late, days are short in November, when Alishaw rang at the prison gate. It was beginning to get dusk. But Alishaw knew that he would be admitted without difficulty. Things were managed in our little town, as everywhere else. At first, of course, on the conclusion of the preliminary inquiry, relations and a few other persons could only obtain interviews with Mitya by going through certain inevitable formalities. But later, though the formalities were not relaxed, exceptions were made for some, at least, of Mitya's visitors. So much so, that sometimes the interviews with the prisoner in the room set aside for the purpose were practically tete-a-tete. These exceptions, however, were few in number, only Grushenka, Alishaw and Rakitin were treated like this. But the captain of the police, Mihail Mihailovich, was very favorably disposed to Grushenka. His abuse of her at Mokro weighed on the old man's conscience, and when he learned the whole story, he completely changed his view of her. And strange to say, though he was firmly persuaded of his guilt, yet after Mitya was once in prison, the old man came to take a more and more lenient view of him. He was a man of good heart, perhaps, he thought, who had come to grief from drinking and dissipation. His first horror had been succeeded by pity. As for Alishaw, the police captain was very fond of him and had known him for a long time. Rakitin, who had of late taken to coming very often to see the prisoner, was one of the most intimate acquaintances of the police captain's young ladies, as he called them, and was always hanging about their house. He gave lessons in the house of the prison superintendent, too, who, though scrupulous in the performance of his duties, was a kind-hearted old man. Alishaw, again, had an intimate acquaintance of long standing with the superintendent, who was fond of talking to him, generally on sacred subjects. He respected Ivan Fyodorovich, and stood in awe of his opinion, though he was a great philosopher himself, self-taught, of course. But Alishaw had an irresistible attraction for him. During the last year the old man had taken to studying the apocryphal over his impressions with his young friend. He used to come and see him in the monastery and discussed for hours together with him and with the monks. So even if Alishaw were late at the prison, he had only to go to the superintendent and everything was made easy. Besides, everyone in the prison, down to the humblest warder, had grown used to Alishaw. The sentry, of course, did not trouble him so long as the authorities were satisfied. When Mitya was summoned from his cell, he always went downstairs, to the place set aside for interviews. As Alishaw entered the room he came upon Rakitin, who was just taking leave of Mitya. They were both talking loudly. Mitya was laughing heartily as he saw him out, while Rakitin seemed grumbling. Rakitin did not like meeting Alishaw, especially of late. He scarcely spoke to him, and bowed to him stiffly. Seeing Alishaw enter now, he frowned and looked away, as though he were entirely absorbed in buttoning his big, warm, fur-trimmed overcoat. Then he began looking at once for his umbrella. "I must mind not to forget my belongings," he muttered, simply to say something. "Mind you don't forget other people's belongings," said Mitya, as a joke, and laughed at once at his own wit. Rakitin fired up instantly. "You'd better give that advice to your own family, who've always been a slave, driving lot, and not to Rakitin," he cried, suddenly trembling with anger. "What's the matter?" "I was joking," cried Mitya. "Damn it all. They are all like that." He turned to Alishaw, nodding towards Rakitin's hurriedly retreating figure. "He was sitting here, laughing and cheerful, and all at once he boils up like that. He didn't even nod to you. Have you broken with him completely? Why are you so late?"
"I've not been simply waiting, but thirsting for you the whole morning. But never mind. We'll make up for it now. Why does he come here so often?" "Surely you are not such great friends?" asked Alishaw. He, too, nodded at the door through which Rakitin had disappeared. "Great friends with Rakitin? No, not as much as that.
Is it likely, a pig like that? He considers I am a blackguard. They can't understand a joke either, that's the worst of such people. They never understand a joke, and their souls are dry, dry and flat. They remind me of prison walls when I was first brought here. But he is a clever fellow, very clever. Well, Alexei, it's all over with me now." He sat down on the bench and made Alishaw sit down beside him. "Yes, the trial's tomorrow. Are you so hopeless, brother?" Alishaw said, with an apprehensive feeling.
"What are you talking about?" said Mitya, looking at him rather uncertainly.
"Oh, you mean the trial. Damn it all. Till now we've been talking of things that don't matter, about this trial, but I haven't said a word to you about the chief thing."
"Yes, the trial is tomorrow, but it wasn't the trial I meant, when I said it was all over with me.
Why do you look at me so critically?"
"What do you mean, Mitya?"
"Ideas, ideas, that's all.
Ethics.
What is ethics?"
"Ethics?" asked Alishaw, wondering.
"Yes, is it a science?"
"Yes, there is such a science. But
I confess I can't explain to you what sort of science it is.
Rakitin knows. Rakitin knows a lot, damn him. He's not going to be a monk. He means to go to Petersburg. There he'll go in for criticism of an elevating tendency. Who knows, he may be of use and make his own career, too. Off. They are first, rate, these people, at making a career. Damn ethics, I am done for, Alexei, I am, you man of God. I love you more than anyone. It makes my heart yearn to look at you. Who was Carl Bernard?
Carl Bernard?
Alishaw was surprised again. No, not Carl. Stay, I made a mistake. Claude Bernard. What was he? Chemist or what? He must be a savant, answered Alishaw, but I confess I can't tell you much about him, either. I've heard of him as a savant, but what sort I don't know. Well, damn him, then. I don't know either, swore Mitya. A scoundrel of some sort, most likely. They are all scoundrels. And Rakitin will make his way. Rakitin will get on anywhere, he is another Bernard. Ugh, these Bernards. They are all over the place. But what is the matter? Alishaw asked insistently. He wants to write an article about me, about my case, and so begin his literary career. That's what he comes for, he said so himself. He wants to prove some theory. He wants to say he couldn't help murdering his father, he was corrupted by his environment, and so on. He explained it all to me. He is going to put in a tinge of socialism, he says. But there, damn the fellow, he can put in a tinge if he likes, I don't care. He can't bear Ivan, he hates him. He's not fond of you, either. But I don't turn him out, for he is a clever fellow. Awfully conceited, though. I said to him just now, the Karamazovs are not blackguards, but philosophers, for all true Russians are philosophers, and though you've studied, you are not a philosopher, you are a low fellow. He laughed, so maliciously. And I said to him, Doidibus nonis disputandum. Isn't that rather good? I can set up for being a classic, you see. Mitya laughed suddenly. There's no disputing ideas. Why is it all over with you? You said so just now, Alishaw interposed. Why is it all over with me? H.M. The fact of it is. If you take it as a whole, I am sorry to lose God, that's why it is. What do you mean by sorry to lose God? Imagine, inside, in the nerves, in the head, that is, these nerves are there in the brain. Damn them, there are sort of little tails, the little tails of those nerves, and as soon as they begin quivering. That is, you see, I look at something with my eyes and then they begin quivering, those little tails. And when they quiver, then an image appears. It doesn't appear at once, but an instant, a second, passes. And then something like a moment appears, that is, not a moment, devil take the moment, but an image, that is, an object, or an action, damn it. That's why I see and then think, because of those tales, not at all because I've got a soul, and that I am some sort of image and likeness. All that is nonsense. Rakitin explained it all to me yesterday, brother, and it simply bowled me over. It's magnificent, Alishaw, this science. A new man's arising, that I understand. And yet I am sorry to lose God. Well, that's a good thing, anyway, said Alishaw. That I am sorry to lose God. It's chemistry, brother, chemistry. There's no help for it, your reverence, you must make way for chemistry. And Rakitin does dislike God. Off. Doesn't he dislike him? That's the sore point with all of them. But they conceal it. They tell lies. They pretend. Will you preach this in your reviews? I asked him. Oh, well, if I did it openly, they won't let it through, he said. He laughed. But what will become of men then? I asked him, without God and immortal life? All things are lawful then, they can do what they like. Didn't you know? He said laughing, a clever man can do what he likes, he said. A clever man knows his way about, but you've put your foot in it, committing a murder, and now you are rotting in prison. He says that to my face. a regular pig. I used to kick such people out, but now am I listen to them. He talks a lot of sense, too. Right, swell.